Stockyard in Brighton. This is the Boston College Football Show with Bill O'Brien, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll get you caught up on everything BC football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, proud sponsor of Boston College Athletics. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. And also brought to you by McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. It's time to talk BC football. Here's John Meter Perrell.
Oh, boy, how to start the show on a right note if they could only hear what we were just talking about.
He's Pete Cronin.
He's Bill O'Brien. I'm John Meter Perrell. Welcome to the BC Football Show, as always, at the Stockyard in Brighton. And we had the week off last week. Pete was here wandering around, wondering where everybody was.
Hold on. A friend of mine showed up last week looking for me.
Is that right?
Yes, and I told him I was told not to show up, so I'm coachable. But they ended up having a nice evening, had dinner, had a couple of drinks, and...
You said you were
probably a lot more fun than they have coming to this thing, but that's okay. But they're back for another show.
Didn't you rake the leaves last week?
I blew the leaves. I'm a man of
big talker. You said you were going to rake the leaves.
New century. No, the raking thing's way overrated. I did that as a kid. Yeah. No, I got a machine that, and even that's a pain in the neck.
There's nothing worse than raking leaves.
Oh, and then you blow them, and if you don't play the wind right, coach, you know how the kicking game when you kind of gauge in the wind to kick a field goal.
Oh, I know all about the kicking game.
Well, we won't get into that, but when you're blowing the leaves, in the wrong direction, the wind is blowing up, you're like, what am I doing wrong here? There's something wrong with this.
Yeah, it's raking leaves is manual labor. We don't do manual labor. But there's a lot of manual labor. Me. I don't do manual labor. But there was a lot of manual labor at practice this week.
Yeah.
As the players are grinding through it, and you had the bye week. Did it come in at a good time?
It did. I think, you know, we've had two byes, but I think this is a program that needs two byes because with two bye weeks, you can get a lot of work done. You can get work done with your veteran players, the guys that are playing a lot of football, and then you can get a lot of work done with the younger players that are the future of the program. So I think the two bye weeks have been great for us. And, you know, look, we have a big challenge on Saturday with the Syracuse team that's very, very good. Good offensively, good defensively, good on special teams. But it's a home game. And our guys are very excited. I think there's a good energy with our team. You guys were at practice today. There's some juice, and we need to show up and be ready to go on Saturday. We're ready to go.
Well, the MO is you come out, you start fast, and you know I call it whack-a-mole. The way it's been going, you take care of one problem, and another one kind of pops up.
Right.
The latest and greatest is the inability to kind of finish, get leads in this going into the second half. How do you address that?
You know, I think there's a couple ways you can address it. We definitely emphasize it, Pete. Like, I think one of our issues is exactly what you're saying. We you know, sometimes we jump out to a big lead, we can't finish. Sometimes we get behind, we come back, we can't overcome in the losses that we've had. But I do think these kids understand that. I think that, look, I'm just going to be honest with you, they're not too used to winning, you know, and they have to learn how not to lose before they can really learn how to win. I do have a strong belief that we're on the right track. I really do. I know that, you know, I appreciate the crowd here. There's an awesome crowd here tonight, and I really appreciate it because I think people can see, like, you know, if you really know football, you kind of know that we're on the right track. The right track is not losing. I get that. The right track is winning, but I think if we continue to chip away, you know, at the things that it takes to win, I think we'll be where we want to be very soon.
Upon further review, when you looked at the Louisville game, it was a 20-0 lead. Things were going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then collapse happened. Why did that happen?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of things happened. I think offensively, I think our passing game has to improve. Our passing, in the end, in today's day and age of football, you know, when the game's on the line, at some point in time, you have to create a chunk play. You have to be able to throw the football and our passing game has not been great. And so we've worked very hard on that. Tommy's worked hard on that. The receivers have, the tight ends have, the offensive line has. You know, we're always going to be able to run the football at BC. We've been able to run the football for the most part this year. You know, parts of that has to improve. But it's really the passing game that has to improve. And I think defensively, look, you know, we went up against a Louisville team that is a very dynamic offense. We did well for a while. But in the end, because we were three and out or not being able to sustain drives on offense, it was hard for the defense. So, you know, it's a team thing, and we have to do a better job of playing complementary football.
Well, I was just going to ask you about complementary football. It's subtle. People listen to it. They think it's cliche. But the subtleties between each phase of the game have such a dramatic impact on the next phase. And,
right.
And so you're always – it doesn't matter what phase you're in, you have to perform at a very high level.
Right, right. I think that's the key. Like, and you know, there's between 160, 170 total plays in a college football game, and every play matters, right? There's really not one play that doesn't matter, and I think that's what our guys continue to understand. Like, look, you know, 60% of the time, 70% of the time, we're doing the right thing. It's that 30% that – you know, we've got to focus better. We have to execute better. We have the right guys in the right spots. We have to coach better at times. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, but these 2 weeks have helped us, and I think, hopefully you'll see that on Saturday.
Encouraging that we've seen the emergence of young players contribute steadily, including Turbo Richard, including Omar Thornton, who emerged in the Louisville game. Ashton McShane, a cornerback, who started the last couple games. So, looks like the infusion of young talent is productive.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the future of BC football is very good. The future is very good. There's a lot of good young talent. There's about 30 guys. There'll be 14 new enrollees, the class of 25, in January.
Wow.
The recruiting's going very well. We have a staff that recruits very well. We have like 7 kids committed in the class of 26. We're going to bring in probably about 30 guys in the class of 25. We recruit every day. We recruit every night. We recruit every morning. We recruit every afternoon. We recruit all the time. And so and I'm very happy with where that's at. But as this team exists right now, there's a lot of really good young talent. You know, you mentioned, you know, when you look at a guy like Omar Thornton, I think that's a guy that people need to key in on Saturday. I'm probably putting a little pressure on him, but you know, this guy reminds me of Bob Sanders, who played for the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow.
This guy's a really good player. He's a contact player. He's got a instinct for the ball. And when he hits you, you know he hits you. And that's the type of player we're looking for at BC on defense. And then when you look at, like, John Montague on offense, you know, he's a guy who came in here as a quarterback. We moved him to receiver. You know, there's some rawness to him, but I think he's got an unbelievable future. And so there's a lot of other guys. You mentioned Ashton McShane. There's young linemen that haven't played yet that I believe will be really good for us on both sides of the ball. So there's a lot of good young talent with a recruiting class that's coming in that's very, very good, we believe.
Now, you've got a lot of young guys in the lineup, but you're at that point of inflection in the season where you got to start thinking about keeping kids happy who maybe have not had a lot of reps. Because the portal looms large, and if kids disenfranchised, you might lose them.
Yeah, no, Pete, I think it's a good point. I'm not in the business of keeping kids happy. I'm in the business of teaching kids how to play football. I'm in the business of Boston College and what's best for Boston College and the Boston College football team. I do understand what you're saying. You will see, and I think you've seen probably over the last 3 or 4 games, we play a lot of guys. If you really charted who we play on special teams and who we play on offense and defense, a lot of guys are playing. If somebody comes into me at the end of the season and they think the pastures are greener over here, then, you know, God bless them.
Here's your bus ticket.
That's right. Because we feel like we're on the right track here and we have a good thing here. This is a special place. This is a special school. We haven't even been here a full year. We got hired in February, and it takes time. It takes time. We feel really good about where we are for Saturday, and at the same time, we feel good about where we are for the future. So, you know, we're on the right track.
Besides the passing game, which you mentioned needs to improve, 8 games in now, you do a lot of self-scouting, reflections. As you say, look at the man in the mirror. What areas do you need to improve upon?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think one of the things that I preach is that, you know, these guys, coaches and players alike, have to look at each other and, you know, look at themselves, in the mirror and say, like, what can I do better? What is there anything, you know, that I can do better as a player, as a coach to help this team improve? That's a big deal. because that's the one thing I have not seen with this team, which is really, really cool. Nobody points fingers. You know, we're not in a great streak right now, right? We've lost three in a row. Everybody understands that. We're 4-4. We still have a shot at a bowl game. But nobody's pointing fingers. If you guys were really in the meeting rooms this week and, you know, at practice, you guys were at practice, there's a good energy about this team. I give a lot of credit to the leaders of this team. I like where we're at this week. You know, we have to go out there and do it. We know that this is a big game. It's a big game for both teams. Syracuse is a very good team. Fran's done a really good job with this team, but you know our team will be ready to go on Saturday.
There's a lot of history here. 58 games, I think, and maybe more money. 85.
This is the 58th.
58th game. Okay, my numbers. That'll happen occasionally.
You played in like 20, right?
At least. No, my I still got some eligibility. We talked about that.
Please,
but
God.
You
could help us out.
But everyone focuses on the rivalry going back to the Big East. What about the East Indies?
Right.
People forget about the Eastern Independent, the mythical league.
Right.
Where that was you know that cluster of Northeast teams.
Yeah.
Like Pittsburgh, West Virginia, Army, Navy, Penn State was in that mix. I mean, so that this is a rivalry that goes a long way.
Yeah.
I think your kids appreciate it. I don't know if the Syracuse kids do. I can't get that. I just don't get that vibe.
Yeah. Look, we've talked about it a lot this week. I think that's an awesome point. That I've been very fortunate, right? I've been in a lot of really cool regional rivalries. Right when I was at Georgia Tech, the Georgia Tech Georgia game, it was an awesome rivalry to be a part of. Right, Duke North 1-0 in Iron Bowls, by the way, but you know, just being a part of these regional rivalries, Maryland, Virginia, and now to be a part of Boston, you know, Penn State, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, the rivalries that we were a part of there. This is a great regional rivalry, a very respectful rivalry of teams that have a great tradition of great football with awesome coaches and awesome players. You know, we have a guy that played at Syracuse and was the head coach at Syracuse on our staff, Doug Marone, one of my best friends in the world. He you know, has talked about that a lot this week, you know, what this rivalry means to both schools. And, you know, it's very cool. I have a strong belief in that, and that's where I think that the conference expansion, which I understand, I'm not saying I'm against it. There are some things I am against. If you want to ask me about 105, I'll tell you about 105.
One. Yeah.
But what I think is so important in college football is to keep these regional rivalries, because I think that's a huge part of college football, and hopefully they stay this way for a long time.
You know what 2-0 against Auburn gets you in Tuscaloosa, Alabama?
Free meals.
You got it.
No question.
You don't have to buy a drink for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go back there now, they'll still
applaud you. I don't know about that. I didn't win a national championship,
You still beat Auburn, though.
Yeah, yes, we did.
That's important. He's Bill O'Brien. He's Pete Cronin. I'm John DePorrell. This is the BC Football Show from the Stockyard in Brighton. We're back with more after this from our good friends at Bud Light.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard until the other team scores. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus, copyright 2024, Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey there, football fans. Whether you're cheering for the home team or visiting from out of town, Hilton Garden Inn offers you the perfect choice of comfort and convenience, spacious rooms, modern amenities, and a location that's just a short drive from Boston College. And don't forget to grab a delicious breakfast at our on-site restaurant, Punch Bowl, before you head to the stadium. Visit bostonbrooklime.hgi.com to book your stay today and get ready to elevate your game day. It's more than a hotel. It's your touchdown for an unforgettable Boston College football weekend.
It's always the nights that end too quickly that leave memories that last a lifetime. Whether it's sharing a toast after work to celebrate being one day closer to the weekend, or hitting your lucky Keno numbers and celebrating with a dance you should be embarrassed to do in public. The games from the Mass State Lottery are the ideal complement to that unforgettable night. So let's celebrate the nights that connect us, because the ones we spend together are the ones we win together. The Mass State Lottery. Celebrate the night.
Hey, Eagles fans. Come and enjoy one of Metro West's hidden gems at Shining Rock Golf Club. Shining Rock is one of the premier public golf courses in New England. And now open our new 9-hole par 3 course, the Acorn. At only 867 yards, the Acorn provides a great opportunity to work on chipping and putting. Book your tee time by calling 508-234-0400 or visit their website at shiningrock.com. Go Eagles!
Hey, Doug Flutie here.
And I'm Flutie Foundation board member and autism advocate, Mike Palmer. Join our mission of helping people and families with autism live life to the fullest. From being part of an event like the Flutie 5K for Autism, hosting a fundraiser, donating or supporting our Stars of the Spectrum's career pursuits, your involvement directly helps the autism community. Go to FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Everybody that's been a part of our foundation, thank you all so much.
Go Eagles.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from The Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
And welcome back to the BC Football Show. Great to have you with us, as always. What do you got on the docket tonight, Pete? What are you looking at? What are you eyeing on the menu?
Pretty much everything.
On the food menu?
Yeah, everything. Everything is good here. You can't go wrong. So
you can't.
I mean,
you on the Cambridge diet?
Yeah, I eat everything in Cambridge. I'm more seafood. I see food. I eat it. Yeah.
So, what do you think? Steak? You staying for dinner here tonight?
Probably. Maybe it's a possibility. No, that
talk about out kicking
well,
the coverage.
We're in the.
You got your beautiful wife here tonight.
See, so that's two of us. You know. Hey,
no
listen,
question. Yeah,
Colin O'Brien's a regular here.
Absolutely. Yes.
But you're in the steakhouse. You don't order fish, right? Is that how that works?
No, you don't order fish here, do you? I mean, I don't want to.
The fish is very good.
I shouldn't say that.
The fish is very good.
The fish is fantastic.
The salmon's good here, right?
Tastes a lot like T-bone, but that's okay.
Whoa, jeez.
No, oh, delicious. No, you can't get by order a steak.
See, this is the problem. When you ask Pete this question about food, sometimes we might offend some people. We don't want to offend anybody.
We're used to that.
Order all the fish you want at the Stockyard.
Well, they'd call it the fish yard then, if that was the idea.
Pete, there we go again. You're supposed to go along with what I'm saying.
It's like a lounge act. Cronin's playing every hour on the hour.
Yeah, like your waiters and waitresses. I'm here all week. Yeah.
A couple numbers jump at me when I look at Syracuse, Coach. Yep. Time of possession. They're number one in the country.
Yeah.
In time of possession. But on the flip side, they also turn the ball over a lot.
Yeah.
12 interceptions by Kyle McCord. He threw, five at Pittsburgh, three were returned for touchdowns. So what's the yin and the yang there?
Look, I think that's, when you look at football, just forget about Syracuse, BC. You know, when you look at football games across the country, I think a lot of these, I'd say 90% of these games, unless they're blowouts, the close games come down to ball security.
Yep.
You know, the team that wins the turnover battle, most of the time in a close football game, wins the game. And so it's very, very important for us to take care of the football. And, you know, hopefully we can do a good job of getting our hands on some footballs from them. But at the end of the day, we have to take care of the football, because I think even though in the Louisville game we didn't turn the ball over and we lost, I get it. But overall, I do think the turnover margin's a big part of these games.
Now, the way that Syracuse approaches, they are preaching balance, but they're really not that balanced. The running game emerged against Virginia Tech. That running back's pretty stout. But Pittsburgh really had them on their heels, and they just – I think it was 85% pressures in the first half. And the first three possessions, three interceptions, two pick sixes. You don't have to disclose trade secrets here, but do coaches take a page out of that game plan, that approach, and you know, bury it in their approach when they match up against Syracuse?
Here's the key to when you watch film on both sides of the ball when you're getting ready for a game. Yes, you can look at the Pittsburgh game and you can say, you know what, we should play them that way. But you also have to look at, like, who we have and what we do best, right? What are our strengths? What are some of the things we do really well? Are there things that Pittsburgh did that we can do? Yeah, probably. But there's some things that Pittsburgh did that, you know, we're not very good at. There's other things that, you know, UNLV did or Georgia Tech did that, you know, we're better at this. So maybe this is a better way to do it. Or the other key, Pete, is, and I learned a lot of this from Bill when I was with Coach Belichick, is, you know, how do we believe that this team's going to play us? They may not play us the same way they're going to play Pittsburgh, right? They may come into Alumni Stadium on Saturday at noon and try to pound the ball 50 times. Do I think that's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, we have to be ready. They have a very good back. They've got a good offensive line. You know, we've given up some run yards over the last couple games. So, you know, we have to be ready to stop the run. We have to put them off schedule. And, you know, we'll see what happens after that. So that, but that's kind of how we look. That's the chess match that people talk about, you know, like, how is this team going to play us based on who we are, not necessarily what they did against some other team.
And those, when you get into a game, if you're surprised by what they're doing, how quickly do you need to adjust?
Yeah, you got to adjust pretty quickly. If you wait till halftime, you're probably in a
late
bind. Yeah. So we try to, after the first two or three series of the game, you can kind of tell how the game's going to be played. And so we try to do a good job. That's why, like, you know, in the game against Louisville, you know, we went three and out. And, you know, and again, like, you know, fans and everybody's a little upset about that. Well, you know, that it's not great to go three and out. Don't get me wrong. We'd love to go down on the first drive and score. But, like, look, you know, we're trying to figure out how this game's going to be played. This is how we believe it was going to be played. And then it changed. And we did get up 20-0 because we adjusted. But then they adjusted. And then it's a game of, okay, how do we adjust? And we didn't adjust as well as they did after that. So, you know, that's the game within the game that we have to do a better job of as coaches.
Defensively, 4-4, you've been good. You've been forcing turnovers. You got 11 interceptions, which is fourth in the ACC, 14th in the country. So turnover margin's a good thing. What are the areas you look to defensively and say, all right, we need to do this better?
Oh, we got to stop the run. And I think stopping the run, meaning like if a team runs the ball in first, you know, the first drive, first play of the drive, and they run the football and they get 6 yards, that's 2nd and 4. Well, they're on schedule. And, yep. And now the offensive coordinator on that side, he can call whatever he wants on 2nd and 4. As long as he can call a pass, as long as he doesn't take a sack, it's going to be 3rd and 4 at the very least, right? We have to do a better job at the start of these drives of stopping what they're doing. We got to get them in 2nd and 10, maybe get a TFL, maybe get a sack, get them off schedule. That's not just Syracuse. That's the rest of these games. We have to do a better job at the start of the drive, and I think that's big. And I think the same thing, you know, obviously reversed on offense, we have to do a better job at the start of the drive of gaining a positive, you know, get a positive play to get us in 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, right, 2nd and 3, to put us in a rhythm where we can get going. But, you know, that's kind of the game within the game.
We talk about it all the time, staying on schedule.
On schedule, yeah. Real priority.
But very important.
When you're – so I'm thinking when you get into a – you're in defense, you get into a possession, and is it scheme or execution or both?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it comes down to it's a little bit of both. I think there's times where, you know, because of who we are, teams play us to basically stop the run, right? So we get a loaded box, which is where our passing game has to improve. And we've called passes. Guys have been open. We've hit them sometimes. Sometimes we haven't. We have to hit those guys in the passing game more than we have not. You know, if you look at the 2-minute drive to end the Louisville game, not to go back because we're moving forward here, but you know, there are a lot of guys open in that last drive of that game, and we either have to hit them, protect better, whatever it is, we have to execute and coach the passing game better.
Syracuse has a lot of weapons, receiver wise. I know you've gone over that with your team this week. Yep. Payne is a very good receiver.
Yep.
Simmons. They're pretty much loaded. Gadsden's a great player. His father was with the Dolphins for a long time.
Yep.
How do you slow those guys down?
You got to tackle. They're gonna catch passes. You have to challenge them at the catch, and then you got to get them on the ground. They do a great job of breaking tackles. One of the keys to the game is, you guys watch it from upstairs, will be tackling on both sides of the ball. How well does Syracuse tackle? How well does Boston College tackle? That'll be one of the keys to the game.
That's one of the things that came out doing research on them as one of their priorities. And they're one of the worst tackling teams in college football based on FBB or
PFF. Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, BC's had their issues, but it seems like you have corrected that over the last couple of weeks. You know, double digits and a couple of and down to like single, one or two. So it's an area of emphasis.
Yeah.
Obviously an area of emphasis for them, but you had a little extra time this over the last week or so to focus on it.
Yeah, we had some very physical practices, and you know, we work all the time on tackling. Our defensive coaches did a good job of really emphasizing tackling because that's, you know, that's a big part of the game. That is that's, you know, they like, for instance, Syracuse does a great job with their quick game in the passing game, three-step drop, get the ball out quick. They're going to complete passes. Passes are completed in the quick game. You got to make the tackle. You make the tackle, it's a five-yard gain. If you miss the tackle, it could go for 20. So, you know, tackling is a big emphasis for us all the time, but especially so the last couple of weeks.
But the you think you're late in the season, you get 4 weeks left, you're beat up. You did get the extra week, which is a opportunity to recover. But how do you coach physical practice when you're banged up?
Nah, don't worry about it.
You just go.
Yeah. Okay. You got to go. You got to be physical all the way through.
I like it.
You can do some things.
Right out of my playbook.
That's refreshing.
That's who that's who Boston – that's what I'm saying to you guys. Like, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but that's who Boston College has to be. We are not going to be a finesse team ever as long as I'm the head coach here. We're going to be a tough physical football team that battles hard, and we defend every blade of grass – on defense, and we fight for every blade of grass on offense. And we're going to be a physical team, and guys are going to be banged up, and we're going to callous those guys in training camp to being banged up. And we're going to have a medical team that takes care of our players, and we're going to care deeply for our players. But when we go to practice, for the most part, not every practice, but for the most part, we're going to practice hard, and we're going to hit, because that's what football is. And so if you don't have any contact during the week and then you expect to go out and play Syracuse, you know, you're going to get hit in the mouth and it's not going to feel good. And, you know, instead of being used to it and okay, here we go. So I have a strong belief in physical practice.
Yeah.
I coach it, not to interrupt, I could talk about this all night. When I went to work for Nick Saban at the University of Alabama, it was the most physical practice team I've ever seen. I mean, very physical every day. I'm talking about like
Paul.
Tuesday,
like,
Wednesday, Thursday.
Wow. Like Bear Bryant stuff?
I mean, I don't know about Bear Bryant. I'm just saying, like, and I learned a lot there because we were a team in the 2 years that I was there. You know, we lost four games. Three of the four games we lost in the 2 years I was there was on the last play of the game. We were 24-4 in 2 years. We lost three games on the last play of the game. Then we lost the national championship game to Georgia. So we lost four total games. And it wasn't that we were out physical. It had nothing to do with that. It might have been a play here, a play there, a turnover there, a turnover there. There was a very physical philosophy that I think is very important. I realize we're at Boston College. I get it. But I'm just telling you, football is a physical sport, and we have to be a physical team. And these guys are tough. Our guys are tough. They play tough. They play hard. The effort's not the problem. They'll show up on Saturday. They'll play physical, but that's a big part of what we do.
That's refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do.
You just made his night. You could have brought out a plate of chicken
wings. When I went to the New England Patriots in 2007, which was arguably the best NFL team of all time, definitely the best team that didn't win a Super Bowl, we, in training camp, we would have basically, you know, two-a-days, right, back then, before the 2011 CBA. Full pads in the morning, full pads in the afternoon for – you know, basically 20, 25 straight days with a day off here and there in between. We had a physical team.
Yeah.
That's what football is.
And you had Hall of Famers.
It's not tennis. Nothing against tennis.
Yeah, but, you know.
Nothing against any other sport that's not, you know, it's not golf. It's football. Yeah. You hit. And so that's what we try to do.
I think you're speaking his language. Cronin's a happy guy right now.
I don't need a translator for that one.
Yeah. He's a happy guy. He lived that life for years.
I would have to say, in retrospect, being around this program for many years, when the team was coached to be physical and they played physically, you could actually see the other team cower.
Yeah.
Late in the game, you'd see them. They'd lose their energy. They didn't want to play anymore.
That's what you're trying to get to.
Because
we're not there yet. Like I said, you know, Syracuse on Saturday – you know, is going to be a very difficult game. They're a really good team. They're 6-2 for a reason, and they're a physical team. You know, Fran Brown is a great coach. He's done a great job there in the first 8 games here, and they're a physical team. So it'll be that type of game. But that's really what it's all about.
All right, Pete's got to go run some sprints now. He's all jacked up.
Physicality. Like, we got a helmet right here, Pete. Like, no, you can have that. That's okay.
This is the BC Football Show. We have another timeout. Come back and join us from the Stockyard after this.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
A new era of BC football is here. Led by first-year head coach Bill O'Brien. Catch the action this fall with tickets starting as low as $10 for select games. Group tickets are also available, providing exclusive experiences, including on-field access for your youth team or organization. Don't miss your chance to be part of the excitement on the Heights. Secure your seats to see Bill O'Brien and the Eagles by visiting bceagles.com.
Hi, Tom Coughlin here. Can you imagine getting the news that your child has cancer? Each year, more than 15,000 kids across the U.S. are diagnosed with this disease. The Tom Coughlin J Fund's goal is to be there for these families so they can be there for their sick child. We offer assistance with household bills, financial coaching, and emotional support. We hope you will join us helping these families. We need you on our team. Give now at tcjfund.org.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan. Vehicle maintenance may be the last thing on your mind, but cars do need regular checkups. Come into any Sullivan Tire and our experts will let you know what looks okay or what may need attention. You decide what fits within your budget. Get the peace of mind that you deserve at a price you can afford.
Thanks, Paul. Make an appointment online by visiting SullivanTire.com. And go BC Eagles!
Check out Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control. They have high-performance RC cars and trucks for the whole family. Traxxas is the leader in hobby-class radio control fun. They even have waterproof electronics to keep the fun going year-round. Learn more about Traxxas at TRAXXAS.com and use their store locator to find a Traxxas dealer near you. Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control.
Since 1970, the campus school at Boston College has been educating students ages 3 to 22 with extensive support needs, including complex medical challenges. Located on the BC main campus, our dedicated team of teachers, therapists, nurses, and volunteers work together to realize the potential of each student. You can help make a difference. Your support directly funds the technology, equipment, and materials our students deserve. Learn more at bc.edu/campus school.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
And welcome back to the BC Football Show. Bill likes when I do my announcer voice, so hi, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your Thursday.
It's like the movie phone.
It is.
Now playing at Showcase Cinemas.
Cinema yeah.
Tell me, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Why don't you tell me what you want to watch?
Hi, you crazy chicks. We'll be right back with Mr. Microphone.
Pete.
I remember that commercial where they go and buy the convertible. They got the Mr. Microphone going.
He's unleashed. He's unleashed. He is.
I don't remember that commercial.
I don't either, but I'll take his word for it.
Well, you don't remember Ozzy and Harriet either, so it's okay.
Pete, I'm 55.
I know.
This is great.
Ozzy and Harriet, that was black and white TV, right?
I'm in a time capsule. I'm sorry.
Pete sends out a –
I thought everybody watched TV in the 60s.
Pete sends out a blog every week, which you don't know about because I don't know if you're on the email list, but you get a kick out of reading
it. I'm not on the email list, I must know.
No, you're not, but Pete –
I'm not included.
Pete's blog is comprehensive. He does a lot of research, and it's good for show prep. But he put a quote this week from Pogo the Possum.
Pogo the Swamp Possum. Remember Pogo the cartoons?
No.
I do not remember
Pogo. Because you don't read newspapers.
I was like the Flintstones.
Pogo was a big Sunday.
Richie Rich.
Yeah. Richie Rich.
That's okay.
Not Pogo. Yeah. Like, do you remember Pogo?
No, I do not. Pogo. I do not remember Pogo.
Pogo Pulaski. See, wasn't he a professional wrestler?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. He stole it.
And Togo Pulaski.
Stole it from the Swamp Possum.
Okay, so what was your thought process quoting Pogo?
Pogo is famously quoted as saying, "We've met the enemy and they are us."
Can you appreciate that quote?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Oh, boy. All right. I
got
to bring up a rule change. You threw something at me. I had no idea what you were talking about. Coming up next year, college football will allow a 105 limit roster. And the limit increases the number of players on a football team's roster from 85 to 105, allowing schools to offer up to 20 more scholarships. The new limit includes non-scholarship walk-on players. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's terrible.
Okay.
Boston College is – we're in great shape. But I'm just talking about – this is my own opinion. This is my own opinion.
Of course.
This does not reflect the opinion of necessarily of BC. You know, basically, like, what this rule does is it, for the most part, eliminates walk-ons. And walk-ons are the heart and soul of your program.
Yeah.
Like, we have a guy on the team right now named Juan Zabal.
Yep.
Juan's on the kickoff coverage team. He's an awesome guy. He's from Mexico. He went to IMG. He's a brilliant guy. He's, you know, got into Boston College, walked on the football team. He's one of the toughest kids on our team. And he's a guy that in the future, that type of guy,
yeah,
probably will not be on the team. Because if you have 120 guys on the team, you have to basically get down to 105. So you're basically cutting 15 guys.
Mm.
And so, like, when I was at Penn State, one of the greatest things about our success, which wasn't like a huge amount of success, but in the situation that we were in, you know, it was pretty successful. And one of the main reasons why was because of our walk-ons, our ability to practice, our ability to have really good special teams units. They're the heart and soul of the team. They're the guys that, they're walk-ons. They're tough. They're smart. They're BC guys. And so just moving forward, I just think it's brutal. But that's just my opinion.
How big is your roster now?
It's about 118.
So
13 guys.
Is that a typical roster?
So hold on. Let me put this in perspective. Say it's 120. So take 15 guys per team because, you know, Dabo's got 120 on his team right now. And, you know, Mac Brown has 100. I'm sure they do. I don't know their exact, you know, roster amounts, but I'm sure it's way over 105. And if you multiply 15 by however many Division I college football teams play, you know, how many Division I college football teams there are, that's a lot of kids that are losing an opportunity to play Division I college football as a walk-on. That's a lot of kids, Pete, and that just I don't think it's great. What I think should be done is there's a couple things I think should be done. There should be a commissioner of college football eventually.
Couldn't
someone like
more.
A retired coach, right. Someone who has great stature. Look, I obviously Nick Saban, you know, someone like that, that is in charge of college football. I know it's not going to be Nick. I'm just saying, like, that type of person. And then that person has a committee of people underneath him, a lot of retired coaches, retired athletic directors that really understand, you know, college football. I think the other thing that needs to be done relative to this 105 is how about giving us a JV team? You know, a team of guys that, you know, maybe there's, I don't know, 30 to 40 guys on a JV team that can play, you know, the Navy JVs or the Ivy League JVs on Thursdays and Fridays,
yeah,
and have a JV squad that if somebody at the 105, because right now, let me tell you this one too, Pete, you'll appreciate, yeah, this. If you're at 105 right now at Boston College, if we were doing it right now, we have 18 kids on the injury report, all legitimate injuries, soft tissue, concussion, knee injury, you know, legitimate football injuries. Can I replace those guys with some of my JV players? I won't be able to do that. Once I get to 105 next year, I can't. If I have 18 injuries, I'm dealing with
what's left,
and okay. So that's going to make it more like a professional practice, where when you practice for the Redskins, right, the offense went and the defense was kind of – and there was a scout team and you had a practice squad and then the defense was up and it's just not the same. And so, like, to cut the roster to 105 and then not allow us to replace the 105 that get in, you know, part of those guys that get injured, I don't think it's the right thing to do. Well, what do I know?
Two things. One, the motivation, is it financial?
That's a question way above my pay grade, and I would think money has something to do with it, but I'm not sure.
Or is with parity that it's already beginning to emerge because of NIL and because of the portal, is it a stab in the dark to create parity across, because everybody, even the blue blood programs, are going to have the same problem that you're having?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think it's probably that is part of it, but why does it have to be 105? What I'm
Magic
saying
number
is,
came out of nowhere.
I mean, because in the end, like,
20 is a round
there's
number.
No more scholarships, so there's no more like 85 on. You can have – some schools will put 105 kids on scholarship. So and then you know, some of those kids will get NIL deals on top of that and all that. And let me be really clear about this. I want to be really clear about this. Wow. Boston College will be a big part of that. We'll be in that game. But it's just – I'm talking about my own opinion – relative to the spirit of college football, relative to some of the best kids that I've been doing this 32 years, some of the best kids I've ever been in. I'm passionate about this, man, because I would have been a walk-on. If I went to BC, I would have been a walk-on. And so these kids are some of the best kids I've ever met and still in touch with are some of the walk-ons that I've coached at all the different places
so
I was at.
Some of my best friends from college football are walk-ons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
You're cutting the heartbeat of your program out, a large part of it.
In some ways.
Yeah, in some ways. You bring up the JV issue. Ivy League football has JV teams.
When I was in at Brown, which was a long time ago, there used to be freshman football. You probably remember this.
BC had freshman football.
And so, you know, the freshman team would play on Fridays, and then the varsity team played on Saturdays. It was pretty cool because, you know, your parents came to the game. The varsity team would watch the game, and the visiting varsity team would watch the game because they were there for the game the next day.
Yep.
And so, you know, that was a cool thing. And, you know, I think that was a cool thing about college football. Now, Ivy League football, they eliminated freshman football when I was coaching at Brown. I coached at Brown when Brown had the first four-year starter in the history of Brown was a guy named Brendan Finneran, who played at Central Catholic, who was a great defensive lineman from Andover, from my hometown.
Yep.
And he was the first four-year starter in the history of Brown University because freshman football had been eliminated in 1994 or 3 or something like that. So anyways, but that was my thing is, why not have a you know, Boston College, Syracuse, Pitt, you know, they all have JV teams and they play each other. So like today, you know, BC's JV team would have played Syracuse JV team or tomorrow on a Friday, and that's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
So
you should be on the commission, I think.
Yeah,
maybe,
I'm just
it.
I'm very passionate about it.
Well, clearly, we've personal friends with Baker, so he was a great contributor.
Well, I love Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker's awesome.
Was I?
Paul,
I do like Charlie.
Of fake Baker. News. Why not?
I knew Charlie when he was going to Harvard basketball games
great
with his
guy.
Dad.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's a terrific guy.
They have a great guy in charge of the NCAA. And he didn't have anything to do with this decision. I'm just saying it was a decision that was made.
Yeah, no, it's a layered situation.
Always something behind the story.
There's
right?
no question. See, we got him going.
Yeah, it's good. On a kind of an obscure
subject.
It
doesn't take a lot to get me going. I'm not sure if you've noticed that.
That's the scouting report right there, but that's okay. That's okay.
College football 12-team playoff. I heard was driving in listening to Mad Dog Russo on you know, Mad Dog Radio with Greg McElroy, who's an analyst with Sean McDonough.
McElroy's a good guy.
And they were talking about maybe Army making the playoff. And Army's undefeated. Army has not trailed in the game this year. They're the only team in college football to not trail in a game.
Yep.
What do you make of that?
I mean, when you look at Army and Navy and Air Force, you know, Army especially, obviously, this year, you know, they've done a great job. You know, when you watch them, I watch them on film when I get a chance, and, you know, very disciplined, very tough. You know, very well coached. Todd Monken does a great job. I mean, Jeff Monken does a great job. Todd Monken's brother does an awesome job at Army. Got a lot of respect for Jeff. He does a great job. And, you know, those are tough teams. You know, I'll never forget, like, when I was at Penn State, we didn't start off very well my first year. And so our third game was Navy. We played Navy. And I was like, I didn't sleep the whole week because I was like, how the hell are we going to beat Navy? Navy was very good.
Oh, yeah.
and we beat them. But I mean, it was a very difficult game, and you know, the service academies are really.
You said that every time BC plays.
Yeah.
Oh, it's high anxiety.
High anxiety.
Yeah, they're.
Wasn't that a movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a Mel Brooks movie.
That's right, as a matter of fact.
That's one of the few little tidbits I retain.
Love Mel Brooks.
Pop culture.
My dad loved Mel Brooks.
Yeah, funny guy. Yeah. You know, made a living cracking people up. But Army is a.
Army. I was trying to throw you guys for a loop a little bit.
It's all right. It's hard to
get you off the subject of a three-game losing streak. You know what I mean?
No.
We can ring it back there, but let's stay on Army and Navy and Air Force. But no, they
It's a great story.
They are always a tough opponent. I'm glad they're not in the schedule. Whenever I look at the forward schedule, anytime one of the academies is not on it, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
because they're always
it's difficult.
They come in, they're a different breed of cat, man.
Yeah.
Ankle biters.
They play 60 minutes. They know what it means. You know, they do. They have a style of playing and a mentality that's tough to go against.
Well, I have less than fond memories about matching up with the
last year.
I don't need to bring. Well, that was okay.
That was a win.
We're gonna win, but that was in a
torrential rain.
But we've had. Some run-ins with those guys, tough. But give them credit. You know, you talk about taking the hand that's dealt you and maximizing it.
Yeah.
You know, they are limited. They have a lot of things that stand in their way of being good, and they're good despite it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, it's the mentality. I mean, I think that's a great mentality there. And, you know, I've always loved them. You know, when my brother Tommy played at Brown, and he was a sophomore, and they played up at – this was like 1983 or 84, and they played at West Point, and my dad, we drove up to the game, and I'd never been there before, so I was probably 15 years old, and to see that, to see the pageantry and, you know, game day experience at Mikey Stadium, that was very cool.
My kids in the booth last year, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Hiding from the rain. Oh, yeah.
Cool place.
No, they loved it, man. They couldn't believe it was a college campus. Yeah. I'm like, guys,
and they canceled everything, though, because of the rain. But that was it's quite a place.
Oh, didn't have the parade. Didn't do the parade and stuff.
I don't think so.
Nothing. No cannons going off. No nothing.
But it's
it was cool. Okay. It was 3 inches of water on the field, but it's okay.
It slowed him down.
Flattened the game out a little bit.
All right, we got to take our final timeout. He's Pogo the Possum. I'm Jami DePerrell. He's Bill O'Brien. This is the BC Football Show for the Stockyard. Back with more after this.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Looking to make waves with a radio ad or public presentation? Need to polish your public speaking skills? At MoVibe Productions, we specialize in crafting compelling audio and coaching talent. Our beautiful state-of-the-art Studio G by the Sea offers the perfect creative environment for recording audio and video. From script to sound, from idea to imagery, MoVibe Productions can make it happen. Discover an ocean of success at MoVibeProductions.com.
Friends of the Heights is Boston College's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams and growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve our community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Giving to Friends of the Heights directly impacts our team's successes on the field, court, ice, and track. Help our students. Help our teams. Help Boston College. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com.
At Mass General Brigham, we're one against cancer. We're building a world-class center of cancer care with the most cancer surgeries and specialists in the region. With new collaborations, approaches, and treatments, like the only precision proton therapy treatment in New England. We're there with patients for every twist and turn. There's only one, Mass General Brigham. To learn more, visit massgeneralbrigham.org/cancer.
Boston College 1992 alum Matt McGovern is the proud owner of the McGovern Auto Group, Boston's fastest-growing family of car dealerships. Matt is proud to serve BC, its students, alumni, and their families. With 26 dealerships across the Boston Metro and over 7,000 cars to choose from, don't settle for a new vehicle from just anyone. Join your fellow Eagles, Matt McGovern, Mark Walker, and Tom Kilgariff at McGovern Auto Group. Visit them online, McGovernAuto.com, and go Eagles!
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from The Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter-Perrell.
Friends of the Heights is Boston College's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams, and they are growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve our community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Giving to Friends of the Heights directly impacts team successes on the field, court, ice, track, you name it. Come on and help our students, help our teams, help BC. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com. Bill O'Brien, you know the importance of that organization.
Absolutely. Friends of the Heights does an unbelievable job. Jim Paquette's here today. Tonight, and you know, Friends of the Heights is very important to the success of BC football. We can't do what we're doing without them, and so we're very grateful for what they do. You know, the contacts, the staying in touch with BC alums, and all the alums out there. What you're doing for BC football, it's going to pay off. It really is. We're on the right track here, and we really owe a lot to Friends of the Heights.
And a point of clarification, we talked about the new model next year with regard to how the NCAA is going to handle NIL money and, you know, all that. But that doesn't change the importance of it, of Friends of the Heights.
No, not at all.
Their role doesn't change.
No. Yeah, they'll still be very important. I think the collective will be very important. And really important over the next, let's just call it 6 months, and then when revenue sharing takes you know, its place, collective will still be there. It'll change a little bit relative to revenue sharing, but probably don't want to get into all the details of that right now. There's probably another time for that, but yeah, it's college football's changing. College football's changing. BC's right there in it, and you know, it'll all work out.
And we do know that it all kicks off Saturday, 11:30, our broadcast time, about 12:05, the kick time, BC Syracuse. Give us your keys to the game.
I think one of the, you know, there's a lot of keys to the game, but I think tackling, our ability to break tackles, our ability to tackle defensively, our ability to, you know, do a great job of recognizing what they're doing. They have a very diverse offense when it comes to formations, personnel groups, motion shifts. We got to do a great job of communicating, getting lined up, and then doing our job. We got to stop the run. Everybody's talking about their passing game, and their passing game is very good. McCord does a really good job. They have a really good running game. LaQuint Allen's very good, so we got to do a good job against the run. Offensively, we have to be able to establish a line of scrimmage. We've got to be able to run the football, stay on schedule, and then hopefully we can hit, you know, a few chunk plays and try to, you know, get a 20 to 25 yard gain in the passing game. That would help us within each drive. That would really help us. Special teams, we've got to punt the ball well. It's going to be a big day for that. It'll be supposed to be a little bit windy. Might be 15, 20 mile an hour winds. Ooh. So we got to understand that. Our kickoff coverage team has to do a great job. Our kickoff return team, they kick 85% touchbacks, but I think with the wind, we may get some shots to return. So we got to do a great job of knowing who we have and get the return started. And then, you know, our punt return team has to do an excellent job of understanding. They have different formations, different guys that are eligible. They do a lot. They're very well coached, very creative, and it's going to be a big focus alert game for us in addition to a physical game.
Now, the conditions, obviously, they play indoors. People forget about that. The wind, we like it when it's really cold and icy when they come to town, but we're not going to get cold and icy, but the wind certainly is going to be a factor.
Yeah, I think so.
Even throwing the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we got to do a good job of understanding the wind. Today it was windy in the stadium. We practiced in the stadium. You guys were there, and it was windy at times. Today it gusted a little bit, so I think it'll get down to low 50s. It won't be, you know, it's been nice all week, and it'll get cooler on Saturday, and you know, and I think it'll be some wind will be a factor in the game. So we got to do a great job as coaches of understanding that.
Well, when the sun hits the heights, the temperature goes
down. Yep, no question.
And that bodes well for Boston College, and you know, those guys are they're spoiled. They play indoors.
But in the end, I do think it's important for us to understand the wind and the direction of the wind. That's going to be a big part of the game, I believe.
Patriots had some problems with that last game going into overtime.
I got my own problems, Meter.
Yes.
I'm not worried about the Patriots. Patriots, we all got problems, man. We all got problems.
Oh, my goodness. That was one of the beauties. Either way, Syracuse does – you mentioned LaQuinn Allen. Pete's talked about him all week. 3 touchdowns against Virginia Tech. He seems like a violent runner. Does that make tackling
Yeah, he's a good-sized guy. He's got good vision, good speed, good cutting ability. You know, you've got to – When you play a good back, if you let him get to the second level and you don't stop him at the line of scrimmage, it's very difficult because when the train gets rolling down the tracks, it's hard, you know. So we've got to do a good job of setting the edge and being in our gaps at the line of scrimmage and not getting knocked back. You know, we got to do a good job of that. That'll be a big part of the game.
Yeah, looking at the way the teams have approached you in a run game, you've had a couple of games where you've done very well, where others it's been kind of glaring, where there's been some flaws. Would you expect them to modify their scheme to copy some of the success other teams have had?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think we have to be ready for that. You know, teams have run the ball on us. And it's kind of like what I said a few minutes ago about, they're a very good passing team. If you look at their stats, they're way up there in passing in certain passing categories. And McCord's a really good quarterback, and they have good receivers. Meters pointed that out. But at the end of the day, like we've struggled against the run at times, so we better be ready for them to come in here and run the football, because you know that if I was looking at us. You know, I'd say, you know what, I'm going to test them and see if they can stop the run.
Then McCord, on the other hand, you know, he's you watch him play. He's extremely confident in his arm. He throws the ball into tight windows. He throws it into coverage, and it backfires sometimes. On the other hand, he makes some great plays.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very confident player. I mean, this guy came – he was at Ohio State, you know, so he's played in big games. He kind of understands what it's all about, and he's got experience, and he's definitely got that gunslinger mentality a little bit. And, you know, we have to do a good job of, you know, being in the right place in coverages, whether it's man or zone, and we have to do a good job. He makes a lot of plays when he gets outside the pocket. He extends plays. He almost doubles his – you know, yards per completion when he extends the play. It goes to about 17 yards per completion. So we've got to do a good job of keeping him in the pocket because he can run a little bit, and you know, he's a dangerous player.
And since it's 6:57 at the end of the show, this is our chance to remind everybody to get into the stadium early on Saturday. A representative crowd. Pete and I look out over the crowd sometimes, and we're like, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Get him in there early.
Yeah, you know, that's been a you're right. We need them in there early, but you know, they like tailgating, so they want to get everybody out of tailgating.
I understand.
But the students have been awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah. Been awesome, and I love the students at Boston College, and they've done an unbelievable job of showing up for us. And we gotta come out there and play well because the students, they give us everything they got on game day, which is cool.
And the music.
Music was – I mean, did you like the music?
Better, way
yes,
better.
Yes, much better. Much better.
No violins, absolutely. No
We're
no
not
piano.
Getting ready for a calculus exam. We're not studying – you know, we're not studying history in Babs
Did you listen to violins before your calculus exam?
I mean, something to calm me down because I can't even spell calculus, but like
– But you're a Brown graduate.
I'm guessing he had some
– Get that going. Ivy League, brother. Come
pass,
on.
Pass, fail, baby. Pass, fail.
Well, you know, you don't have to tell us the details.
I'm guessing he had some Guns N' Roses going in that dorm room.
Yeah, Metallica.
Metallica, definitely.
Metallica was big.
Oh, yeah. A little Black Crowes, maybe.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain. He was big back in the day.
Yep. Little Pearl Jam, I'm sure.
Pearl Jam.
I'm sure he had it cranked up.
Yeah, we had a good mixture.
On College Hill. Yes.
Providence,
Beautiful
Rhode
Providence, Rhode Island. But, Bill, great stuff tonight, as always. Go get him on Saturday.
Thank you,
good
guys.
Luck.
Appreciate it.
We look forward to seeing everybody at Alumni Stadium and catch our broadcast at 11:30 for Pete Cronin, Bill O'Brien. I'm John Mita-Perrell, Dustin Turpin. Great job, Zach, back in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Listening to the Boston College Football Show presented by Bud Light. Join us on Thursday nights throughout the season from the Stockyard in Brighton. The Boston College Football Show has been sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. Empower. Take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Mass General Brigham, the official medical provider of Boston College Athletics. McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. Rodenheiser, trusted plumbing, heating, AC, and electrical experts for over 90 years. The proceeding has been a Van Wagner presentation of the Boston College Athletics Sponsorships Radio Network.